Thank you for tuning into the Debbie Devotional Podcast, a monthly show focusing on Debbie prospects, strategies, and incoming rookies. Now here's your host.
Welcome back to the Debbie Devotional. I'm here, as always, joined by my friends Aaron Wilcox 86 and at Duchesne's underscore. We are here to talk about some incoming rookie quarterbacks and tight ends. Kind of continuing the series. We're a little bit behind on this one. We were trying to stick to the monthly thing, but we all had a lot going on. Aaron's in school still. I've been working like tirelessly on this model, and Duchesne's is getting suspended from Twitter as often as possible. So basically, just all busy men, but we're here tonight. We're going to talk some quarterbacks, very important talk, and obviously the tight ends as well. What's up, guys? How are you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing? I've had a little sabbatical, I guess, over the last couple hours. And you guys are posting some real shit in my name.
Oh, man, that was so much fun. Aaron, like I said, Aaron's been pretty busy today, so we were catching him up before the show. But, Aaron, you'll have to go check out all the things that we posted talking about.
All my hot takes.
Yeah, Duchesne just hates Austin Eckler, can't stand Justin Fields, you know, just Jones, a lot going on. Mac Jones, QB1, you know, just obviously we'll get into all that tonight.
I love it, guys. I love it. And I will say, too, I'm excited to talk quarterbacks, tight ends with you guys. However, I really spent a lot of my time. I didn't realize how much time I spent evaluating running backs and wide receivers typically. Every year. So, I mean, it's fun looking into the quarterbacks and tight ends, though I'd say I'm definitely stronger at evaluating running backs and wide receivers. So, but this is going to be fun nonetheless. Really excited.
I'm excited because it's the first time that like I have the QB model done for quarterbacks. And so it's the first time on this show that I can actually discuss the players and like actually know what I'm talking about. Obviously, it's still not into like all Devy things and all of that. But, you know, as far as the incoming rookies, I have done the work on it. So I can actually have an opinion now. It's a little different feel. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do with my hands. But yeah, we're definitely going to be discussing some quarterbacks. So why don't we go ahead and dive right in, and let's go ahead and get started on Duchesne's favorite quarterback, Mac Jones. No, obviously let's start with T-Law, Trevor Lawrence. I don't think that we need to go into like too much detail because everyone knows about him, but I don't want to be the guy that's like nitpicking or anything like that. So like, just tell me like, why is he as good as everyone thinks he is? And I guess if you like truly disagree, then go ahead and tell that too.
Yeah. So I'm not going to nitpick either because he is just so natural as a quarterback. He's smooth. He has the mobility that you want out of a prospect. He's able to get to multiple reads, throw receivers open in most cases, usually gives him a good ball. So he has good arm strength overall. You know, the 2020 college playoff game against Ohio State, yes, that's going to be a little bit of that recency bias where he really didn't play his best, and the team just didn't play well in general. Strange game plan, and he just didn't look great. However, his whole career really has been great. His line of work has been, exemplary. So really statistically solid quarterback. Skill-wise on film, he really checks a lot of the boxes you want. I don't have that many concerns. I'd be interested to hear any of your guys' concerns with him.
I don't have many concerns with him. I feel like he has been anointed since he was a baby, and now there was never a time where someone really stopped and said, is he really the best quarterback? And I mean, in a normal class, he would be. I personally have Fields above him, but we'll get to that Fields, I'm sure. But I feel like Trevor Lawrence is kind of is like Herbert light. And he was in an offense that allowed him to show off the tools, whereas Herbert, they didn't let him. So Trevor Lawrence is a great prospect. He's well deserving of the 101, as he will be in most leagues.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, I have the QB model all done now, and he shows up really well. He actually does not show up as number one, but he's only 0.03 of a point behind number one. So, I mean, it's really minuscule. And this is all pre-combine, pro days, and pre-draft capital. So I would assume when it's all said and done, he will be number one, you know, with the post-draft capital average. But it's very close right now. So, you know, like, just like you said, nothing really to be concerned about. Really just a overall talented quarterback that I will be happy to have, you know, if I had the 101 for some reason.
Yeah. And I will add with Trevor Lawrence, I mean, if you're really trying to find something wrong with him, he did have his non-throwing shoulder. It was injured at some point in his career. He finally got labrum surgery on that left shoulder. I don't anticipate that being a huge problem for him going forward, especially as it is that non-throwing shoulder. So he should be rehabbed fully by the start of the season. And he still threw at his pro day and everything just recently, actually. So Lawrence doesn't have very many injury concerns, but that is a small knock against him.
Yeah, I think we've seen with like Mitch Trubisky, who obviously rushes a little bit more than Lawrence. He had the non-throwing shoulder dislocation or whatever it was, I believe. I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but I think we've seen him have multiple injuries with that now. And so, I mean, I guess there is a concern, but like I said, I think Trubisky's a little more mobile, so it's not like overly concerning. And even with Trubisky, I think it's only been like a game or two that he's missed because of it. Yep. So that's going to bring us to our next quarterback. And actually, you know what, Deshane's, I'll let you pick the number two quarterback. Who do you got?
You mean the number one quarterback that you're going to
the number one quarterback, actually.
You're going to get us a 102 all year? Yeah, Justin Fields. That's my guy. He was my number one over Lawrence coming into the season, and that didn't change during the season. The victory over Clemson was just a cherry on top, and I had vindication. A lot of people kind of jumped onto that train, and I mean, I'm not gatekeeping it or anything. It's glad to see other people agree with something that you kind of felt on the ledge about. He's just a great quarterback. He's got the Konami code upside, where he has the rushing upside. If you like Trey Lance over Zach Wilson because of his upside, then I think the argument should be made that that is possible for Fields with Lawrence. I think he's just as good of a passer, maybe not the same arm strength. I'm not worried about progression reading like the concerns have been recently coming out. I just really like Fields as a quarterback. He's my 101, but I'll get him at 102 easy.
Good take there. I mean, a lot of the thing, I'm not going to rehash any of the things that you said other than, you know, the progression concerns, some of those things. I do see him as more of a quarterback who throws to receivers when they become open. Mm-hmm. So he's not as much of an anticipatory thrower compared to some of the other quarterbacks out there. However, the NFL is getting more and more away from you have to do that at an elite level. And they really just want athleticism, arm talent, smart guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Justin Fields is all those things.
He doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that he can't get onto a second read, things like that. It's just some of that trust to throw with anticipation isn't quite there yet. Maybe in a similar way to Jalen Hurts even. But at the end of the day, I see Justin Fields as being a more talented quarterback overall. And, yeah, don't have a lot of concerns.
Something that I have with Lawrence is that it might be more to how the NFL is scheming with Shanahan and with McVay, but I mean, Trevor Lawrence wasn't really given the keys either. He just was allowed to throw downfield more than Herbert, but a lot of the stuff was drawn up for, like, it's simple reads. I mean, that's the college game. I can't really take too much away from him, but it's not like he's sitting there progressing his reads any better than Fields is.
Yeah, Fields actually is the one that shows up as number one in the QB model. I will admit that the QB model is skewed a little bit towards rushing quarterbacks because it's not meant to be who's going to be the best NFL quarterback. It's meant to be who's going to be the best fantasy scoring quarterback. And obviously we know that rushing quarterbacks score more points than just your pocket passers or your normal pocket passers. Now, like I said, it's only 0.03 of a point, so it's not like a huge difference or anything like that. And I foresee it changing with draft capital and everything else. But Fields is definitely showing up. He's proven everything to me and to the model with with what he's done in college that he deserves to at least be that 102. And I mean the people putting some of these other quarterbacks above him need to maybe take a step back and look at some things. Although we do actually have, or at least the model has somebody at three that's pretty close, like maybe like a tier below, but like fairly close. But Aaron, who would you put as your third quarterback?
That is a great question. And I've struggled with this. I do see a bit of a tier break after Lawrence and Fields. And really, I have Wilson, then Lance, then Mac Jones, and they're so close. And some of that is because year after year, overall, the NFL even, and they spend so many resources scouting players, trying to get to know intangibles, all of these different things. And they miss on these quarterbacks. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to get too nitpicky on those couple of guys who I identify as having quite a few traits, but they're not as complete as Lawrence and Fields. So I will just touch on Zach Wilson, who I do have at that number three quarterback position in this class. And he's a guy where if you say he only had a great year this year, statistically that's true, but there were some circumstances, injuries and whatnot, in his past earlier in college that explain why it took him until this year to really break out. He flashed in bowl games before this year. He did show some promising things. And as far as his talent goes, he has very good arm talent. Not elite. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I've heard that comp thrown around. I don't know why it's out there, to be honest. Just because he can throw from multiple angles, I suppose. But if you're going to comp a guy who can throw multiple angles, he's more Matthew Stafford than Patrick Mahomes for sure. But he's a guy who I also sometimes see him throw guys open, but the other times he's not willing to do that on intermediate to deep areas of the field. So some anticipation issues at this time. But, I mean, he has good mobility. He's not going to be a big-time scrambler, though. So for fantasy, maybe has that limited upside. But I see him making way better decisions from the pocket and being able to escape better than a guy like Drew Lock. At first, I thought there were some similarities with them, but Drew Lock sometimes gets stuck in that pocket versus Zach Wilson. He has a little bit more of that mobility. And I mean, I think he's a solid quarterback. He's not a huge quarterback by any means, but I think he can get it done at the NFL level. What do you guys think?
He's not small either. Before Deshane's gets into it, I wanted to ask you, looking at it, he made a huge leap from his sophomore year to his junior year. You know, was there a reason for that besides just him progressing or getting better? Or did you notice any reason why? Because, I mean, it was a big leap. It was substantial.
Yeah, he was coming off of an injury, and I believe, I don't have all the details of the injury. I believe it was a wrist injury, but I may be wrong there. And so there was some of that. And other than that, I don't have great reason for it because I've trusted some other guys that I've heard from as far as talking about his progression through college. So he really did flash a lot of the traits that you wanted. But yeah, it took until this year to really put everything together. So a little bit of a knock with that too, versus these guys like Fields and Lawrence who have been doing it for years.
Definitely. Yeah. What do you think, Deshane?
This is where the QBs start to get interesting. There's this clear tier break right here. A lot of people have Lance over Wilson. And like I said, because of the rushing upside, he does have the rushing upside over Wilson. But I believe that as a passer, Zach Wilson is more talented. And I have Wilson at three easily. I never heard the Patrick Mahomes comp. Maybe I have, but I like the Stafford comp. A comp that I've kind of made with his play style and is sort of a Josh Allen. He's not nearly as big of an arm, but he has the same kind of play style that Josh Allen got away from a little bit this year, where with his hero ball and his bad trying to force passes that he really shouldn't. And Zach Wilson has that too. He has the arm angles, the slight athleticism. He's not the same athlete. He's already a better completion accuracy, I guess, than Josh Allen. But yeah, Wilson's a guy that that I'm fine taking 103 as QB3. I'll probably try and grab him at 105, hopefully, if I can. But yeah, Wilson's definitely a guy that I'm targeting.
Wilson for me is the fourth ranked quarterback. He drops a little bit into another tier. I mean, it's not like anything insane. I'd still be happy having him, but I think there's enough risk involved with, you know, like with the question marks, because even, yeah, he was injured in the previous season, but it wasn't like his numbers were like, oh, he just missed three games or whatever it was. Like, he just wasn't as good. He wasn't as good of a player. And then all of a sudden he got much better. On top of that, I think you have to think of the competition he was playing against at BYU. And the model, the QB model, does build in a competition score. So that actually dropped him from his original score, like a tenth of a percent, something like that. Not a percent, a tenth of a point, I mean. And so it's, he's still at four, but he's just not... When I hear people talking about the 101 and 102 and stuff like that with Wilson, it makes like makes my head explode. Especially when you start talking about, you know, Patrick Mahomes, it just I don't see that at all. At least in the numbers, and I think that we now he does have a little bit of the rushing ability, like you guys said. So I mean, he's not like overly athletic. He's not going to be, you know, running around like Lamar Jackson or anything like that. But he has the ability to scamper, to get out and do all that kind of stuff. So. I think he's a good prospect. Obviously, we have to see where he lands, what he does. But I feel like he should be in that like second or third tier of quarterbacks, and yet people are talking about him being in the first tier. And I'm not really on board with that.
Yeah, I'm not either, but he is the third for me, and I'm not sure who your third is. But he shouldn't be the 101 or 102 or 103 in your Superflex. I mean, if he's your guy, go get him. But that said, he is – most likely going to be the second pick overall in the draft. So that's something to keep in mind. The odds are that he will be.
It definitely seems that way. I mean, more and more mocks are showing that he's going to be at that 102 or at least in the top four or, you know, whatever. And so that is going to push him up, you know, in the model, especially because obviously draft capital matters and all that kind of stuff. But even then, I think I would go back and look at my pre-rank and just be like, you know what, I feel like I'd be happy with them. But like you said, I'm not taking them in those first three spots. I'm taking Fields, Lawrence, Chase, you know, or something like that. So I think that Aaron agrees with me on this one. But my third guy is actually Mac Jones, or at least you had him close. I don't remember what the actual order was. Now, I'm pretty sure that Duchesne does not agree with this one. I'm pretty sure he is a Mac Jones hater, if you will. But I'll go ahead and start off on this one. There's not too many things that Jones hasn't done except for being really, really flabby. Like that's like the one big knock on him is, you know, that he looks like he's a dad and he's got the dad bod going. And but I mean, everything he has done, he's shown that he can truly be a great pocket passer. No, he's not ever going to be rushing or anything like that. I thought I had his rushing numbers, but I'm pretty sure they were actually negative. I want to say that he had negative yards per carry. And so, you know, like it was like 0.1 minus 0.1 per play or something like that, which is hilarious.
Does that count in kneel downs?
that counts sacks. No, but you know,
obviously, I'm just saying, like, you know, that means he's not a positive in any way, you know, with that. But it's just there. Other than that, there's not too many knocks. He's extremely accurate. He completes a lot of balls. Obviously, he had a lot of help. He had great receivers.
A lot of help.
You know, everyone's losing about or
so much help.
Yeah, but everyone's losing their minds about Jalen Waddle and how good he is and everything. He wasn't there for the majority of the season. Yes, Devontae Smith showed out in a big way, but you know, like it's not like he had everything that he could have had. If he had put up these numbers with both, maybe I would discount it a little bit more. But he shows up very well, and like I said, he's actually in the tier two. So obviously, he's not in that Fields and Lawrence, but he's definitely at the top of that tier. Tier two for me. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, so I believe I'm going to be more with you than Deshane's on this. Not that I'm super strong fan of him. I mean, he is at QB5 for me. It's because he doesn't quite have that rushing upside, as you mentioned. But like you said, I mean, he's a great QB within a strong system. So assuming that he lands in maybe the teens, I don't know if he's going to make it into the 20s based on what I'm hearing in the NFL draft, but he might have a stronger situation that he walks into. And I think, you know, with some decent offensive line play, he's going to be fine. He has good arm strength. He has good accuracy. He's able to progress through his reads really well. And Alabama has helped him progress in that way. I mean, you can definitely hold it against him that, you know, he had a great offensive line, great weapons. He is learning to – yeah, right, right. And it makes sense. But he's been able to progress through reads. And he can do the simple pocket mobility things that you need out of a guy. He's not simply a statue. He's just not a rusher. So – I don't see him being a star, but I could definitely see him having a ceiling of a Matt Ryan type of pocket quarterback. And I'm not saying stylistically that's the comp, but as far as, you know, we've seen Matt Ryan have top five quarterback upside in given seasons.
Is it just because Matt Ryan throws to a lot of Alabama receivers?
Yeah. Matt Ryan, who was he throwing to in college? Boston College. Wasn't the Heisman winner? Jalen Waddle played five games, and he went over 120 yards in every single one of them. Mac Jones is going to be he's the fifth quarterback, and that he's in a tier of himself because he's going to be overdrafted in the NFL draft. He's going to play, so he has value. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have him, but I'm not taking him in the middle second round. With all this talent that we've talked about with the wide receivers and the running backs, he's a late second rounder for me, so I'm never going to get him. But you go watch him play. He's fine. He's okay. He's pretty good. But he has so much help. Wherever he goes this year, he's going to have worse weapons than he did at Alabama last year.
I can definitely see that. And, you know, the thing is, I have him at three. And once again, it's pre-draft and all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean I'm drafting him at three. You know, like, I'm not going to – you don't have to. That's the thing. Like, there's so many people like Duchesne's, at least that I'm hearing, that are like, he's terrible. Don't ever draft Mac Jones. Look at the picture of him. He's so fat. And, like, all this stuff. And
all my arguments I just used, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. That was the only thing you said. And but it's just it's funny. I'm probably not going to be taking him as the third QB, but the fact that he's showing up there makes me think that if I get him as the fourth or fifth QB, I'm going to be extremely happy.
Does your model have a flabby score incorporated?
You know, actually, after I saw the picture, I actually thought about, like, you know, maybe giving him like a flabby discount or something like that, you know, like taking off a tenth of a point or something. But you know, I decided against it. But I actually did give him a discount for who he's playing with, like, whereas, you know, with Wilson, he has the multiplier or whatever you want to call it for competition. I kind of did the opposite with Mac here, and so he's still showing up that well, even like discounting his production and everything because of who he was playing with. So it's kind of telling. I'm very interested to see where he lands, but I have a feeling I'll be higher on him than most. So I think that is going to bring us to our next guy, and this one might get a little contentious because me and Duchesne's have been going back and forth a little bit on this player. When I sent over the QB model to him, he was not very happy with this player's score, his ranking, and it's Trey Lance. And a lot of you might have even be like screaming at your phones, cars, radios, whatever, and be like, why haven't we talked about Trey Lance yet? He's going to be the number two overall pick in the NFL draft and all that kind of stuff. But for me, he actually comes in still, you know, fairly close, like numbers wise, but he actually comes in ranked at, ninth in the QB model or early on. Now, it, like, once again, it's very close. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in this, and that might be another thing that Duchesne disagrees with, but yeah, there's actually lot of good quarterbacks that that I see in this draft.
Well, in comparison to other drafts, yeah, I agree there, but there's six, and then everything else is shit.
The thing is, he's coming in ninth. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's coming from an FCS school. There is the competition score, you know, that he went up against. Obviously,
and there should be.
We don't know who he actually is. He had the one season, then he opts out. We really don't know who he is. But he did some great things. If he didn't do those great things in that one season, he wouldn't even be at nine. He would be so far down there. I would say never ever draft Trey Lance or anything like that. I'm definitely not saying that. But what I am saying is the people talking about taking Trey Lance over Justin Fields, taking him over, you know, Mac Jones, like there's way too much risk involved, in my opinion, to be talking like that in the first round of a rookie draft. I want a stud player that I know I can count on. And I'm sorry, but Trey Lance is just not that.
Well, I am okay with Lance. Sorry, a little awkward transition there. I have him right. I have him with Wilson in the tier back to back at 3 and 4. I think we all agree that in our rankings, though, maybe not the model, but we all have him at 4, I think, in our rankings, right? As of now?
No, I mean, I have him. He'll probably end up 5th, I would assume, okay, when it's all said and done.
I'm looking at them now, so you might not have updated yours.
Oh, but, yeah, I probably didn't. I'm sorry.
Something to keep in mind with Lance, like when he did have that great year, he was like 18 and a half or something. He's 20 years old now. He'll be 21 when the season starts. He has the rushing upside. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't play great competition. My thing is, I probably won't get much Lance. I'd rather take Wilson where I will have that pick. But there's a lot of team. There's a lot of hype about where he'll be taken. And I mean, something I've been throwing out there is like if a team like San Francisco trades up a little bit because they have like the 10th pick or something or around there, I forget. What if they trade up for Trey Lance? I think he might become a heavy. A lot of people will be taking him at 102, I think.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And I don't know, I'm in the middle there. So he's a guy who has a ton of pure talent, but it's raw. It's, you know, NDSU, I don't know. I mean, is he going to be the next Wentz, right? That gives people so much hope that, oh, yeah, well, Carson Wentz came out of there and he had a lot of success. He had, he's had an up and down path so far, but he did show that he's capable of being an NFL starter. And then Trey Lance comes around and I don't know. He has all this raw talent and I'm not trusting it to really materialize year one in the NFL. So he's one of those guys where, yes, you can draft him early in your first round of your rookie drafts. He's probably going to lose value that first year unless something crazy happens, unless he flashes that big upside in a small sample size. But he still needs to develop his deep ball. I don't know if you have this in your model at all, John, but his deep ball completion percentage was not very impressive based on what I've seen. And I think that is a concern because he has this great arm, but if he can't hit anybody, that's a concern for me. And I know Josh Allen had similar concerns coming out. So I get that there would be somebody who would argue that. But again, I don't love seeing that out of somewhat raw prospects, but he does have the athleticism. And I don't stylistically comp him to Josh Allen, but he does have that rushing upside too. So those are just a couple of my thoughts with him. I don't think that'll give many listeners clarity on, you know, whether he's good, bad. I say it's somewhere in between. I say it's a dart throw. It's high upside, perhaps low floor.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually think Trey Lance is good. I do. I just think that he's a very risky quarterback to pick in the first round, and that's really my issue. And but if it matters at all, he grades in substantially higher than Carson Wentz did. Because I've gone back to 2010 with all of these quarterbacks and with the QB model, trying to, you know, check for accuracy and all that kind of stuff. And I, once again, it does skew towards rushing quarterbacks. And obviously, we know he can do that. He averaged 6.9 yards per carry. And obviously, that gives him a big boost in the model because of that. But it is telling that even with that, he's still coming in as the 9th-ranked quarterback. And so I like Trey Lance. It's just kind of like what Duchesne was talking about, where like he likes Mac Jones. He just doesn't like him as much as everyone else. And so I kind of know, even though I do like him, I'm just not going to end up with him. I'm not going to end up drafting him unless for whatever reason he doesn't get drafted in the NFL as high as people are expecting. And then he ends up falling to a point where I'm like, oh, okay, he's the 5th quarterback now.
Where is that point? So I've got him 108, 109 for me is where I feel comfortable taking him. Probably 108.
I think I'd be at like the end of the first, beginning of the second, something like that.
Yeah, what 109 for me right now, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm comfortable putting Rondale Moore, Devonta Smith ahead of a guy like Lance if they get really strong draft capital.
I have Moore over him right now, and people think that's whack. Like in mocks, I mock all the time. If you guys are ever looking for mocks,
I have, when you're not suspended.
Yeah, when I'm not suspended. I've been taking more when I'm at 108. I'll take more there every time. People think it's whack, but you'll see. You'll all be sorry.
Last time I'm going to talk about Lance, I will say for the amount of games that he's played, the fact that he's still showing up this highly in the model is telling of his talent. So I do think what Aaron was talking about with his upside, it's just that like there is the chance of him having just being garbage when he actually gets in the NFL, is playing against, you know, real NFL caliber players and that kind of thing, that he just can't take that next step. But man, he definitely has a ceiling for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe just to add on to that, I believe it would have done him a lot of good just to get those extra reps this season. So, yep. I mean, I do hold that against him slightly, but it is what it is.
Yep. So that's going to bring us to our next quarterback. I actually have a few that are pretty close. I know I have one in particular that I know Duchesne's does not like. But was there anyone that really sticks out as like the next clear guy for you guys?
I don't think so. I think this is pretty much where it's wide open and people have their guys. But I think that this should be a group of four. I mean, if you're going to tier it out here, I think there's pretty much four right here that most people will feel comfortable about. In whatever order that is, I mean, I'm sure everyone has their justifications, but am I crazy there? Is with Newman, Mond, Book, and Ellinger? That's sort of the four.
Yeah, I have three.
I forgot Trask.
So Trask, Mond, Newman, and then I actually don't have Ellinger quite in that group.
Yeah, okay. I don't either.
Okay, good.
Ellinger is not an NFL quarterback.
So I know a lot happened with Newman, and so, you know, that's probably showing up in the model where he transferred. You know, he didn't play a lot of games. What did he play?
He didn't play at all.
He only played 19 games total in his career, his college career. So, you know, that shows up in the model, and that's part of the model because, you know, you get those guys like a Mitch Trubisky that didn't play a lot of games, and you don't exactly know who they are. And so the model kind of builds in the risk, like, hey, we don't know who this guy is yet and everything. So Newman actually comes in as the last place quarterback right now. I do see certain things that, you know, depending on where he's drafted, he's going to, if he draft or gets drafted early, he would skyrocket and he would be a lot higher than he is right now. But it's just too incomplete. And once again, going back to Lance, that just shows you they played the same amount of games, and yet Lance is substantially higher than Jamie Newman. So that kind of shows you what's going on with that. But I have Ian Book, which I know Duchesne's is not a fan of, and Kyle Trask as the next two guys, the fifth and the sixth players. And they actually grade pretty well and pretty close to each other. So they're kind of like interchangeable. But I want to know from Duchesne's first, we'll start off with the hate first. What exactly is it about Ian Book that you just absolutely can't stand?
I don't think he's good at football. I don't like Notre Dame either. There's that. I don't think he's just not an NFL quarterback. He's a college quarterback, just like Ellinger. They have no future. They have no ceiling. I will not be drafting them unless they're taken in the top 40 picks in the second round. Then maybe I'll waste a third on them. But they're just not guys that I'm interested in. I don't know his stats. I don't know his completion percentages or anything. But I watched him play. And just like Ellinger, I actually like Ellinger. But neither of them, in my opinion, they'll be Chase Daniels at best.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, thank you. I'm just going to add, I don't have a strong what's the opposite of liking? No, I'm just kidding. So I don't have a strong disagreement with anything propping up Book, other than just he's so average in so many reasons. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not a hater of him by any means. He's very accomplished throughout his career, and he has a lot of starting experience, which I think could benefit him. I don't have a strong take with him, but I don't like him at the same time. So he's at 9 for me, with Ellinger there.
If that's the case, if you don't have a case for him, get him off your board. If you don't have any reason.
Yeah, I won't draft him. I'm pretty confident on that, unless he goes day 2 somehow.
Yeah, and I completely agree. It's not like nothing's jumping out at me or anything like that. He's clearly in another tier. You know, both of these guys, Trask and Book, are clearly in another tier below the guys that we've already talked about. And obviously, even with poor draft capital, they could drop even further. But with Book especially, like he kind of, I really think it's both, but I'm only looking at Book's numbers right now. I feel like he just kind of meets like certain thresholds that I'm looking for, where he's not like jumping out as this amazing player anywhere. And maybe that just means like he would be a good backup or something like that. But I think we've seen worse players actually be okay for like for a team, for a fantasy team, and score some points. And so if he actually were to get a position where he could take over soon or something like that, I might consider. Now, with Book and with Trask, like I'm probably talking about like a third round pick, you know, in a super flex draft, like something like that. I maybe even a fourth round pick, depending on like how exactly they're feeling. But, you know, especially like with the way Duchesne's is shaking his head, I might even be able to get him later than that, you know?
fifth. That's when you should. I mean, Trask. I forgot Trask. So when I was saying the tier four, this is really a tier three and then a tier two with Book and Nellinger. But my tier of, three after the top five there. I mean, I have Newman and Mond and Trask, and I think Newman has a high ceiling. That's it. It's a very risky pick. I'm not taking him until the fourth, but that's where I'm able to get him a lot of the time. And yeah, with Book, I'm out. I'm not drafting a backup quarterback. Why am I going to waste a roster spot?
Yeah, and Dan says, not sure more than 4 to 5 QBs are selected with the draft capital as potential starter. I definitely agree with that. Like I said, I'm not like overly excited about these guys. A lot of them, really like the next, I don't know, 6, 7 guys on the list are all pretty close. I mean, you know, like these guys are a little bit higher than the other ones, but I mean, they're like, you can throw in a Kellen Mond. He's not that, you know, much further behind Book or Trask. Even like...
I personally Sam
Ellinger, like, you know, you were saying like you kind of like them, but you're not in love with them. They're all kind of in that same tier, you know, like it's draft capital is going to be very important and where they land, landing spot, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Ellinger I liked as a college quarterback. I don't see him being anything as a pro, but I mean, Kellen Mond is a guy that I kind of do like. I think I have him with Jamie Newman there at 6 and 7, and I think Mond has a safer floor, not quite the same ceiling, but you can get him in the fourth round right now. And he'll probably, I mean, if at best he'll be what, round three pick at best. He's probably a fourth, but I mean, he plays for Jimbo Fisher in a pro type of offense. He took care of the ball this year. I mean, I see a little Dak in his game, college Dak, not last year. Some of the best quarterbacking we've ever seen Dak, but I can see that type of mold. I can see that type of path. So if I see that, that's something I'll take a risk on. It's not a guy that I love. It's not a guy that I have to have, but Mond is definitely someone that I will be looking at in the fourth.
Okay, that's fair. And I'll just touch on Mond, Trask, and Jamie Newman, and then I'll probably just be done with, you know, I mean, as far as analysis.
Yeah, we probably don't need to talk about too many more.
Yeah, no, and overall, I'll say that Trask, yes, he has some of the things that traditionally NFL teams look for, but like we were saying earlier, that's not what they're valuing these days. So Trask doesn't really have that great mobility, doesn't have that rocket arm. So yes, he can be accurate at times. He can make some good decisions within an offense, but I don't see the NFL upside. However, Mond, as Duchesne's just touched on, and then Jamie Newman, who we've mentioned, yes, those guys actually have some intriguing NFL upside, whether it's a combination of their arms and athleticism. Nothing great as far as one trait that's just elite, but they at least have some athleticism. They at least have some arm talent that NFL teams may be intrigued with. So those are the couple of guys after that first five, Lawrence through Mac Jones, all those guys. After that, you know, it's these dart throws, and I like my dart throws to have quite a bit of NFL upside. So that's the reason that I have, you know, Mond, Newman, and Trask right after that big tier of five.
I will say with Newman, like the big concern for me is just, he's not very accurate. He's not like a crazy athlete. He's, you know, he's not putting up the Trey Lance 6.9 yards per carry or anything like that. You know, I would even say there's certain players. I mean, like Justin Fields comes in as a much better athlete, not like Trey Lance levels, but like a much better athlete than Newman does. But Justin Fields also blows him away in the, you know, completion rate.
Yeah.
So like his accuracy, like you can't even compare. And obviously we're not comparing. We're not, no one's yeah. saying Jamie Newman versus, you know, Justin Fields or anything like that. I'm just saying like, there's always going to be outliers. Like Josh Allen did not show up well in the QB model. He's really like the one true miss, but I'm okay with that. Like Josh Allen was an outlier. Like he was at like 58%
completion rate. He's an outlier for your model.
He's an outlier for everyone.
He was like top no one seven pick. He's no. somebody that you would have been drafted. It's not like you're drafting him in super flex leagues as the seventh quarterback. You weren't taking NFL, Kyle LaLanna above Josh Allen. Right? He's NFL, an outlier in your model.
The NFL takes bad players all the time, yes. very early, and they fizzle out of the NFL. Like that's how it works. Just yeah. because, like the NFL took
that doesn't
Daniel
make
Jones
Josh Allen an outlier. He was the seventh overall pick that hit. That's not an outlier, just because most don't hit.
The NFL took Daniel Jones at 6 overall, and he's mm-hmm. garbage. Like yeah. that happens. So yes. when you take a raw prospect who is very highly, like there's a very high chance that he's going to fail, and then he becomes this superstar, that is an outlier. That is this, like that's actually what an outlier, like the definition of an outlier.
I'm just going to go back to the, you know, Jamie Newman with being an outlier. That's the kind of outlier that you want for fantasy upside. You want the kind of outlier that can really have that great rushing floor, like Dak. I mean, Dak, you know, he wasn't drafted early, but he came in and he was able to actually flash that mobility with some raw talent. So guys like that, I just like to keep an eye on.
You're hoping for Jalen Hurts out of Jamie Newman. I mean, that's best case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it all depends on like where he's being drafted and that kind of thing. I guess there's enough question marks because he didn't play. You know, this year is very different than any other year because people opted out, teams opted out, like opted back in, opted back out, all that kind of stuff. So it is difficult, but I'm just it's kind of going back to the Trey Lance thing. Like, there's just a lot of risk involved there. But if you're talking about like a fourth round pick or something like that, then I have no issues with it because like, there's no yeah. risk involved there, you know.
I never touched on Trask. Trask is a. Okay. I think he could be okay. Yep. I would take him. I could see him going in the third of Superflex rounds. That's fine. I don't see a ton of ceiling, but he could be a starter. So he's worth something in my opinion.
Well, Trask and Book grayed out like almost even for me. So you know, yeah. if you like Trask, then you like Book. You just don't realize it.
No, I just watched them. I saw Trask doing NFL things. I saw Book doing college things. I mean, doesn't the model? I mean, it grades it towards the college game. It doesn't. You can't say like,
but it's grading things from the college game. But what we know translates to the NFL. Okay. And like I said, it's looking for fantasy scoring. So it's not yep. necessarily saying he's going to be a great NFL game quarterback, but it's saying he's going to score points if he gets on the field. Not right. like amazing. Like I said, he's in that like tier four, you know, whatever you want to call it. He'll probably be even lower than that depending on where he gets drafted. But as of right now, he's showing up as a decent quarterback, you know.
I'd like to go back and see how that turns out because I just see him as two different, totally different players. One should start games and one likely never will.
Yeah. I will say they're in a tier that, like, going back to 2010, a lot of those QBs hit. Dak Prescott yep. was in that tier. That was really the big one, like, off the top of my head because, yeah. obviously, he didn't get the draft capital, and so he fell after draft capital. But pre-draft capital, he was in the same exact tier. And mm-hmm. then, obviously, like, we see what he's become, what he's been, and everything. So I don't think it's ever, like – when you're in that tier four, you're never going to guarantee anything like that, but it's showing that he has a chance to be, you know, pretty good. But I think we've talked about the quarterbacks enough, unless you guys have anybody else you want to throw out there. No. I don't think a lot of these guys beyond that are going to be anything that we're going to really care about. Maybe there'll be one or two that you'll throw in like after rookie drafts and like just throw on your roster just in case. But as far as like actual drafting players, that'll probably be about it. But why don't we get into the tight ends? I don't think anyone's talked about this first one at all so far this offseason. But it's Kyle Pitts And what do you guys think of Kyle Pitts? Are you drafting him at 101?
In a tight end only league, maybe. But, I mean, he's gonna be fine. It's just a basic principle for me before we get started is I just don't go after rookie tight ends. And I mean, Pitts would be an exception, but I'll never get him. I got him at like probably 107, 108 is where I'd feel comfortable taking him. But I would just be, I'd rather take ETN. I'd rather take Rondell Moore, Bateman, like all these other guys, Lance. I would just, basic principle, I like to trade for an already established NFL tight end. I like to take my chances on my positional players and my quarterbacks because those have much more trade value. I mean, a second or third tier running back will get you Kittle. It'll start the conversation. So, I mean, yeah, Pitts is obviously the first tight end. I don't know where you guys would probably take him. I mean, 103 in a tight end premium, I'm just not going to do it.
No, so I will go over just a couple of things I think that are great about Kyle Pitts. I think it's been very much established within the community that, oh, yeah, he's this great receiving threat that you can watch his highlights and get super excited about his hands, his ability as a possession receiver. And that almost seems like he's going to be more used as a receiver. Is he actually going to be a tight end? Is that how he's going to be drafted? We have to treat him right now as though he's going to be part of the tight end class until we know. However, I'm not sold that he's going to be on the field for, you know, the vast majority of plays. He'll definitely have a lot of packages because his receiving talent will grant him opportunities within an offense. But at the end of the day, I think he's more in that Evan Ingram type of spectrum rather than, oh, yeah, he's going to be the next Kelsey, anything like that. So he's very versatile. He's kind of smaller, but I expect him to keep bulking up. There's no reason that at 6'5", he can't bulk up to 250. But at the end of the day, the hype is getting too high for me. I have him late first, early second range in Superflex drafts. Yes, I know. But at the end of the day, like DeShane said, drafting tight ends year one or as rookies, kind of a losing proposition value-wise. So you want to see how rookie picks typically hit, and that's not drafting tight ends. That's just not advantageous for your dynasty rosters. And then everybody wants to say he's the exception to the rule. I'm not so sure, but we'll see.
I'll let someone else prove it wrong.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's probably the smart thing to do. I mean, it kind of gets proven year in, year out. Like, if you just let someone else draft these tight ends, it usually works out to where you can get them, you know, cheaper a little bit later on. You know, people were kind of saying the same thing about TJ Hockenson, 2 years ago, like saying, like, he's the next coming.
He's hit, too, pretty much. He basically pretty much has hit.
But he's not what people are talking about with Kyle Pitts right now. But I kind of feel like they were like on a similar level, hype wise, around this time, like, you know, pre drafts and stuff like that. Like, maybe not quite as much. Like, people are really in love with Kyle Pitts. But
yeah, as a receiving threat, Hawk was hyped because of just NFL talent in general, I think.
Yep, absolutely. And Noah Fant with that draft class with Hawk as well. I mean, Noah Fant was definitely the more athletic of the two. He's got a great athletic profile, of course. I still like Noah Fant as a breakout. However, I think he has a solid case for it, assuming that the quarterback position doesn't continue to be just a dumpster fire.
Oh my God.
that's a conversation for another day. But yeah, Kyle Pitts, I mean, great as a receiving threat. I just need him to really show up with that great frame that he can step in day one at the NFL level and be an actual tight end.
Yeah, no, I do, and the model loves him too, but I don't think it loves him as much as like the hype he's getting. He's not like standing out as like he's that much better than anyone else or anything like that. And to answer your question, like, I've basically said, and I haven't actually gone through and like finalized everything yet, but I basically said I would draft Pitts around like the 109, 110, something like that, which just means I'm not going to get him, you know, like, and I'm perfectly fine with that. but I actually wanted to talk about, because I think kind of the consensus, and I don't know about you guys, but I feel like the consensus for number two is Pat Freiermuth. But that is not who comes in as number two in the model. So who do you guys have it to?
Toss up for me. It's Freiermuth and Jordan, but there are two guys that are going to go in the second, and I'm not going to use a second round pick on them. I'm not going to do it. So, I have Freiermuth. Who do you have, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I initially had Freiermuth. I believe I'm moving Brevin Jordan up, but they're right next to each other in the same tier. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, Brevin Jordan probably has that greater upside, right? He has that great speed and quickness. He's a pretty fluid guy at the tight end position versus Pat Freiermuth. I mean, he's just really solid as far as good hands, good blocker for sure. He's pro ready, but Brevin Jordan has that tantalizing upside. So mm-hmm. I could see him being more of a Chris Herndon, John o. Smith, Brevin Jordan, that is, out of Miami. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure that he's as refined as Pitts as a receiver, but he does have more of that NFL build that I like. So I'm a little torn on Jordan versus Freiermuth. That's why I have them so similarly ranked.
I have Jordan had a lot of out of the backfield, or like not out of the backfield, but short flare routes, and then a lot of post routes. Like, he is a faster guy, more of a receiver. Freiermuth is more of a full tight end. Something that I have, we haven't talked about Hunter Long yet, but he's another kind of decent prospect. Hunter Long and Brevin Jordan, they don't take contact on it as well as Freiermuth. Freiermuth has the stronger base, the better contact balance. He'll get you that kind of George Kittle yak. I don't know his yak yards. I'm just from watching him play. But
there's a reason that Freiermuth was comp to, you know, Gronkowski.
Yeah, okay.
He was Gronk for that reason, just because he could take on. He was physical in the way he plays, like you were describing.
Yeah, so I mean, I have Freiermuth as like the better overall. Brevin Jordan, more athlete, and Hunter Long has I think he has the best hands of them all, personally.
I think the problem is like, it used to be, you know, if you couldn't block, you couldn't get on the field. But now these teams are actually like putting these players in and just saying like, you know what, you're basically a large receiver now, you know, like an Evan Ingram or, you know, things like that. You don't, you know, they don't have to block. Like, even though obviously they would rather that you can do both and everything, you don't have to in all instances. Going, you were talking about Freiermuth and Long. They actually grade very similarly in the model. They're in that Jordan is in the first tier with Pitts, and then but they're still pretty close to Freiermuth and Long. Like, they're not that far away. Like, it's almost one of those things where like I might be okay just waiting and getting Long in rookie drafts, because I'm not gonna have to spend that second round rookie capital or anything like that. And just be like, you know what? Yeah, he's not as good, but like, he's good enough.
Yeah, I think he has the better hands than Jordan and Freiermuth, but he, like Jordan, doesn't take the contact as well. But Jordan has a little bit more athleticism. I mean, I feel like one of these guys goes to Buffalo and they're going to be an early second round pick in your drafts. As a pro, I want to go for who I think is going to be the best. I mean, I will say, Jordan does have that tantalizing upside. Love the word usage, Aaron. But Freiermuth, I just see as being the likely to be the best tight end overall. Just like Freiermuth and Long are both 6'5", but Freiermuth has that 260 frame. Hunter Long a little slimmer. I'm not sure about Brevin Jordan. I know he's a little smaller, but he has that athletical profile. They're all pretty decent options. If I'm going to take a tight end, it's probably going to be Hunter Long in the third. It just depends on who's there.
Yeah, that's what it kind of feels like as well. I just looked it up. Brevin was at 246, so he's not that tiny. Like, he's not huge or anything, but he's not teeny tiny.
Yeah.
There's another player that drops down like a pretty substantial teardrop from those guys. It's Jake Ferguson. Do you guys have any thoughts on him? He's out of Wisconsin. He's basically like the next guy, and maybe even like the only guy that's left that I would really like truly consider. I know people have talked about Kenny Yeboah, but he's going to need some good draft capital to move up in the model. Let's just put it that way.
So Kenny Yeboah, I like some of his flashes, but I think Jake Ferguson, actually, he was kind of that late. He was going to enter the draft class, and then he last minute returned to school. I'm pretty sure that's the case with him. But I will touch on Kenny Yeboah, because I have him in that next tier, and I know he's kind of old. his breakout happened in his fifth season. However, he flashed so much of that upside as far as, you know, some red zone big play ability that, I mean, maybe he's a mini Pitts in some ways. Yes, not as refined by any means, but if I'm getting Kenny Yeboah, let's say he gets some draft capital, nothing crazy. Let's say I can get him, you know, as a fourth round draft pick or pick him up on waivers. At some point, I could see him hitting, and I just like to bet on some of those athletic freaks. And I don't know if he'll grade out quite as a freak, but he has good athleticism.
Yeah, it's that fifth year breakout is really scary. And I mean, just the fact that he did nothing, and it's so weird because he did nothing in the American Conference. Like, that you would almost think it would be the complete opposite. Like he would be a stud in the American Conference, and then he would go to where did he go? I just completely blanked on it. But he moved up to like an actual conference, like a Power Five school, I think.
Yeah, Yeboah ended up at Ole Miss, so he ended up putting some good statistics up there his final season. But I get the hesitations for sure.
Yeah, so. It's all going to be draft capital, and it's all going to be where you have to get them in rookie drafts. But I've heard a lot of people talking about Yeboah, or maybe it's just been you guys. I don't know. But I feel like I've heard a lot of people talking about Yeboah, so I feel like he's being talked about a little too much to where he's going to be drafted earlier than I would be comfortable drafting him.
Yeah, it's like drafting me waiting for my eighth year breakout. I mean, I'll just take someone else in those 2 years. I'll know if this running back or wide receiver didn't hit, and I'll cycle through him, or he hits and I'll trade for a freaking tight end. That's good. I have nothing left on any of these tight ends. Sorry. the athletic profile. He doesn't.
Go ahead.
So you don't like Kylan Granson. So one of the things about some of these tight ends, you'll notice Yeboah, some receiving upside. Kylan Granson, some receiving upside. He used to be a wide receiver. And then now he's converted to full time. He actually put up some stats. I mean, this is all just due to upside that I want to let people know by Kylan Granson out of SMU. But he actually shows this really nice burst and solid hands. He needs to bulk up, yes. I don't even know if he's 240 quite yet, but he's approaching that size. And, I mean, if he gets that day three draft capital, he's intriguing as a late round flyer. I think we've emphasized, don't spend a lot of draft capital on these tight ends. They're going to be slower to hit in most cases, but at least, you know these guys' athletic profiles going in, because maybe a year later they come into a great opportunity. Who knows?
Yeah. Granson's actually the next guy in the list after Ferguson on the model, but it's like another teardrop from Ferguson, and Ferguson was also a pretty substantial drop from there. So that's going to be one of those that he really needs that draft capital. Still talking about smaller school, but he did. I mean, he put up some decent numbers, and I think he showed he's athletic. Now he is undersized. He's more of that Evan Engram mold than, you know, like some of these other guys that we're talking about, like the Pitts and the Kelseys and whoever else. So if anything, he's going to be that move tight end. And he's probably one that's going to be drafted late enough and everything to where, like, you really truly could wait, or, you know, like draft him in the fifth round or something like that. Like, I don't think I'm going to be, you know, picking up Granson in the third round of rookie drafts or anything.
Nope. Don't draft him then. Nope.
And then there was basically just one other guy. We talked about him early on, and you guys didn't really know too much about him, but he was actually showing up in the model. And so I'm kind of interested to see what happens if he gets any kind of draft capital, if he ends up on a team or not. He is a small school guy, but it's Trey McBride, and he is out of Colorado State. He's 6'4", 260, and he doesn't show as, like, overly athletic or anything. Obviously, like, 6'4", 260, unless you're just completely jacked, like, you're probably not going to be, like, running a 4.4 or anything like that in the combine. But, you know, he's out of the Mountain WAC, but he put up decent numbers. And he had the Mountain WAC. But he put up decent numbers in the 3 years that he was there. Really only, like, he didn't do anything his freshman year. But then after that, but I don't know exactly what happened in Colorado State, but he only played four games. I don't know if, like, the team only played four games, if he opted out, if it was an injury involved. I honestly do not know. But what he was doing in his junior year in those four games showed that he has something. And so I'm assuming Trey McBride is not going to be somebody you actually have to draft. I guess we'll see what happens in the NFL draft, but that would be somebody like after rookie drafts that I might just throw in my squad and be like, hey, I have this guy. He has the upside. If he gets a shot, you know, I'll take him.
Yeah. Colorado State only played 4 games. Okay. And Colorado State, Fort Collins, Colorado. That's where I was born, hometown hero. So he'll end up on some of my rosters, but I ain't drafting him because no one else is gonna.
There's some weird things with this, right? And there's some things about his transfer or something like that going into the 2020 season, and I don't even know for sure. I mean, I thought he declared, but I haven't even really looked up on it, just because I was never super interested. But it's interesting that you made those points about him, so I'll have to look into him going forward.
And he very well, obviously, like you said, Ferguson went back, or you think that he's going back to college and everything. He very well could have done the same thing. These are, I guess, players that we assumed were declaring, or that maybe had declared and then maybe changed their mind, like that kind of thing. So I don't want to put out false information or anything like that. But if he is in the NFL draft, you know, then I would consider taking him.
Absolutely, yep.
Well, I think we've basically covered just about everyone that I don't, like I said, I don't think there's too many other tight ends that we need to really be concerned about. Maybe there will be some guys that are going to jump out, like a team drafts some random guy in like the third round, and we're going to have to actually, you know, sit there and look at him and say, you know, what's going on here. But all I know is there's a lot of good quarterbacks, and there's even a handful of good tight ends in this class, and I'm pretty excited about that. Not necessarily to draft those players, but I'm more excited about the fact that it's going to push other players down. And, you know, so I do love that in these rookie drafts. Good.
I don't like to see people succeed. I just want to see other people fail.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, like we've talked about how we all like Pitts, but we're not going to take them, you know, like most likely, like it's just not going to happen. But we love the fact that somebody's going to take them at 104, 105, 106, yeah, or whatever, because it's pushing that it's pushing that guy that we do really want down. And so that's what I'm talking about. You know, the Brevin Jordan, the Pat Freiermuth in the second round, that's pushing a couple of players down to like the mid late second that I can go steal and be really happy with. And while I don't think it's like as deep as maybe people, like the overall class isn't as deep as maybe people want to like say it is or act like it is, I do feel like you in the right draft, you could get a steal at 210, 211, something like that. It's not going to happen in every draft, but there's that possibility. And so it makes me want to go get some of those, you know, 208s, 209s for cheaper and just be like, hey, you know, give me.
Got any more of those late seconds?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Well, you know, I think we're going to actually have to get it back into some Debbie talk on the next episode. You know, we've been talking about these rookies and stuff, but, you know, I feel like, obviously, there's going to be Debbie startups going on. People are talking about doing Campus to Canton startups and stuff that we know. So people want to know about these Debbie prospects. So hopefully we've done a good enough job of introducing the incoming rookies to you. We will definitely be discussing more as we get closer to the draft and everything. But I think on the next pod, it might be a good time to go ahead and discuss some Debbie prospects. What do you guys think?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Right now I'm doing a Campus to Canton mock draft. So I think it's a 20-round mock draft, so 224 college prospects in that. So, I mean, it's a sizable amount, but I'm really loving it because I'm diving into more and more prospects than I ever have. And, wow, some of the guys I'm unearthing, I mean, it's pretty enticing in the next couple draft classes. So hopefully we can get some content out there to you guys soon, breaking down and going deep too. Because I hear a lot of podcasts for Debbie, you know, they break down the top 8 or they break down the top 12 guys, but it's nice to go even deeper than that just to give you guys a really well-rounded look at Debbie and even some Campus to Canton content.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a time and a place for all of that, because obviously you have to introduce the top tier guys. You know, people more of the basic leagues and stuff, you know, you need to have cover that. People like me, I need to hear who the top tier guys are. But then, you know, you get more into it, you get more expert leagues and everything, and you need to talk about more than that. So we'll definitely be doing all of that. Aaron, are you actually going to be doing a campus to Canton league, or are you just kind of messing around with the mock drafts?
Right now, mock draft, but I'm planning to be in one with our guy Levi. Nice. So Levi is planning to do a startup campus to Canton. And for anybody who's not familiar with that format, it's you have one squad is all NFL players and one squad's all college players. So the college players, there's two championships. You know, you can win the NFL side and or win the college side. So really a lot of fun combining college fantasy football and NFL fantasy football. So that is what that format's all about.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. I forgot that we were supposed to be pimping out Levi this week. We decided as a group that we are definitely going to be pimping out Levi Valentine. He's at Levi_Valentine, spelled like it sounds. And go follow him. He is like drastically underfollowed.
He's a crime.
Very smart man. It is a crime. He has a great podcast, Fantasy Players Club.
Excellent.
I've been
podcast.
On it. Duchesne's has been on it. I think Aaron's been on it. I'm not sure.
And not yet, but you know, I'm definitely
gonna
have to get on
there.
Not yet, but
hopefully soon.
I didn't make the cut yet, I guess. I don't know.
And also, Omega says you're not winning this one, Aaron. So
nah, that's my co-owner in that campus.
Man. We'll see.
I'm going to have to see if there's any spots available because I might have to jump in on this Campus Canton League. I don't know. I'm interested for sure, especially if you guys are in it. But I appreciate you guys listening. Like I said, we'll be jumping into Debbie Prospects coming up next month whenever we can get the boys together, the group together. So once again, I appreciate you listening. But for now, we are cashing out. See you.